Siva, we're not going to be talking about. We'll leave her to the sculptor who writes that. But an individual who has to put it up in the right place. Okay. So where should the mezuzah be put? The mezuzah should be put on the right side of the door going into the room. Why? Why the right side? So the Gemara in Menachas Darshans on the Pasuk, Uksavtam al mezuzos beisecha, beisecha derech biyoscha. Beisecha means your house. The drasha is to read it biyoscha. You're entering. So you put on the right side, entering into the room. Okay, so then what do? So we put on the right side. Why? Why the right side? So the Gemara says, because when a person walks, he normally walks with his right foot first. So therefore, yeah, it's like, see, that mezuzah right there. You go on the right side, going into the room. So that's called the right side, because when you would walk, that's how you would walk. Does everyone walk that way? I'm a lefty. So yeah, this is, you want to see this drasha. It's on, let's see the page numbers. Can't really see the page numbers. I have a page. But it's this page here. We can't see any of the page numbers.
The tops
were
cut off in this printout.
Yes, the tops were cut off in this printout. But it says here, Titania. Lefties put their left foot first. Righties put their right foot first. But it doesn't matter. Because at Hilchas Mezuzah, we don't give any differential treatment to lefties. Ah! How many lefty desks do we have here? But lefties should strike. We want equal rights. Rally. Rally for the lefties. So, derech biyoscha, right? So the right foot, and even though lefties might put their left foot first, it doesn't matter. Everyone does on the right. It's not like tefillin. But you have tefillin. So if you're a lefty, so then it's different than you put tefillin on your right hand. I mean, there's a lot of complications. You're pure lefty, not pure, but this is not. We're not here to discuss Hilchas Tefillin. We're here to discuss Hilchas Mezuzah. So derech biyoscha. So that's the right way. So let me ask you a question. But then when I go out, is it going to be the right way the other side? What's your name?
David.
David what?
Ruben?
Yeah, what do you say? David Ruben?
He said that the drasha was derech biyoscha. So going out is not as important, no?
So what you want to say is what you want to say. Is that it's the knisa rishona. Knisa rishona. Because when you go out, that's called backtracking. So backtracking doesn't count. Or else, you could have, why not two mezuzahs? Why not two mezuzahs? Anyone vote for two mezuzahs? Put one here, and then one out. We don't do that. There are some poskim that talk about that when you're not sure which is the, say you have multiple ways of getting in and out, and we have to discuss, you're not sure which is which, so you should put two. But remember, I went away once to face California, but not the regular California, it was like the Bay Area, you know, right? And I gave Sherman mezuzah, and then I said, but that's weird, if you would, you know, like, you know, we shouldn't do weird things. So after the whole Shabbos, a lady came over to me and said, of all the things you said over Shabbos, this is that resonated the most to me. We're not going to do any weird things. So that would be weird, right? To put a mezuzah here and a mezuzah there. If you put two mezuzahs on the same side of the door, what's that called? What? That's called baltosif. That's a lav d'oraisa. If you put on two different sides, according to most, it's not baltosif, because m'man of shach, one is no good. So that's just weird. I'm not saying that, I mean, some achronim have this, but I would never tell anyone to do that. What can I tell you? Now, why would you put two mezuzahs on the same side? Why in the world would you ever want to do such a thing like that?
Yeah,
well,
taller and shorter people.
Taller and shorter people.
More accessible.
Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
It's like that one. Got what?
Two pairs.
But yeah, but what would you? That's because the tefillin has different sheets of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
It should be standing. Should be slanted.
Oh, one stare straight and one. But l'chora, that's not probably not likuva. See, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, you could put on, if you put on two pairs of tefillin at the same time, that's called baltosif. But if you put Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam on, then that's okay, because mamshach one is no good. There are people like that, that put on two pairs of tefillin. Most people who put on Rabbeinu Tam put it on at the end of davening or after davening. But some people put two out at a time, right? The Shulchan Aruch discusses that. So that wouldn't be baltosif. Why? Yeah, because Maman of Shach, if one is no good, then it's not baltosif. But if you would put two on the right on that side, where that mezuzah is, put another one there.
Because you're thinking that it's going to provide extra shmira.
Extra shmira. Sometimes people have svaras. But it's but that's an avera. I'll tell you a story. Who was a gross here? Anyone a gross here? Gross. So you know the Chashuv Yid, Rabbi Rakefet. So Rabbi Rakefet told me once, we're friends, told me, look in the tshuva at Igros Moshe, that Moshe wrote him a tshuva. What was the tshuva? It was in the old days in the Bronx. You had old houses there. I'm sure you've seen this. There's a mezuzah there. The mezuzah there is like probably has like 15 coats of paint over it. It's been there for the past 80 years. Who knows what's there? Who knows? Maybe it's kosher. Mahadrin. Maybe it's pasul. Maybe a lot of possibilities. So this is Rabbi Rakefet's when he grew up in the Bronx. So he asked Rabbi Moshe, so what are we going to do? We want to check to see what's the story. But to check, you're going to have to take that mezuzah. How are you going to get the 10 coats of paint over it? It's a big effort. So Rabbi Rakefet asked Rabbi Moshe, can I just take another mezuzah and I'll buy a new mezuzah and I'll put it in the same area that's still kosher and then save the whole... Tircha. That's what he asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said no, because if Taka, the one that's there, is kosher, the one with the 10 is still kosher, then you violated Altosif. So, therefore, he says you should not do that. But if you do it on the... Okay, so that's what he told him, that he has to get the mezuzah. If he wants to really know, he'll have to get it checked. And even though it's going to be hard, so... And everything is easy in life. Good? Now, someone mentioned... So it has to be on the right side, but backtracking doesn't count. Okay, good. Whereas if you'd be backtracking, then you should put up another mezuzah on the other side. Right? So we don't do that. We only do the Knesset Rishona. This is the Knesset Rishona. L'chor backtracking is called Yitziyah. Right? When I came in this room, that's Knesset. When I leave, that's Yitziyah. So Yitziyah doesn't have a chiyum. That's why it's a discussion in the poskim. What if you have an exit door? What if you have an exit door and you only use it as an exit? And where does it go into? It goes into the yonder. It's not in an enclosed area. So there's a discussion in the poskim. Rabbi Bai told me once he thinks it's butter. Mezuzah, because it's not a knisa. If it would be an enclosed area, even like a backyard or something like that, it would be one thing. But it's not going into the street. So, unless sometimes you use it to go in, but maybe not. The shech discussed maybe you should put it going in if but the simple shot, if you just go out with it, it's not a knisa. As Rav Lai pointed out, then that's Patur Min Mezuzah. Because what? Because the Chiyuv of Mezuzah is Derech Piyoscha. And Derech Piyoscha means on the right, because righties go with their right foot first. And everyone has to follow the righties. Yair?
Yeah, in Zeissman.
Zeissman, yeah.
There's those exit doors, and past, if you walk past space, but it's just exit doors that if you open it, at least usually the alarm would go off. People still try to sneak in. They try to wait for someone to come out, and they sneak in. So the rule is, it's just the only exit. But the mice people, some people, you know, do
go in on the side, the front.
Like with the side is closer to 186. Yeah.
The side
where the Rev used to give shear, like right next to there, in the annex room, in that exit.
Yeah, or that room.
Yeah.
Or even coming by the building where the building is at.
Right.
Yeah. What about? Yeah. No.
So it there's an alarm that, you know, if you open it, like, you're not supposed to. It's only for emergency exit, but people sometimes come in anyway. That's
right.
The rule. So is the kaveh the rules, or the kaveh is the what people actually do?
Probably the reality. Yeah. My roommate got mugged over there. A long time ago. Security's been improved since. When I first came to the yeshiva, it was before security. There's no, any time Dick and Harry could just walk in at any time of the day. And very interesting. And then they decided, things happened, that they said, you know, we need to... And now security runs the place. So, it used to be that they didn't exist, and then they started existing. Different darkness. Now, another thing you need to know about mezuzah, it has to be the bottom of the top third. And if it's lower than that, you're not yotzei. So if it's lower than the top third, so in other words, you divide the doorway in thirds, and the mezuzah has to be, the whole mezuzah has to be in the top third. Even though part of the mezuzah is lower than that, then you're not yotze.
And if it's within a tefach
of the top, then you also know yotze. So you can't put it to the very, very top. But it could be put higher up. But if it's, but here it is now, is the bottom of the top third. I mean, have to do a little measuring thing. But that's what's your name?
Sam Frank.
Yeah, Frank. From where?
Cleveland. When you say that all of it has to be in the top third, does that include even the kisui or just the cloth itself?
The cloth, but look, the mice, you should just make sure even the kisui, because you're not going to be able to tell. So just make sure the whole thing is, technically it's the cloth, but you don't want to, but since the halakha is that's possible if you don't do that, so if you do the kisui, then you can see it. So the whole thing is above the top third, and then for sure you won't have any problem. Excellent question. Okay, so let me speak more, and then we'll ask this question. Could you eyeball it, or do you have to mamish measure it? That's an excellent question. So let's see the answer. One second. Now, if you have a child's bedroom, and you want him to be able to touch the mezuzah, kiss the mezuzah, and you put it lower down, you mevatel mitzvah sesei min haTorah, because you're not yotze. It's because you want it for the kid, so pick the kid up. It's not a din that a little. It's right. It's brought down the post. You're not yotze, so you can't do that, even for a little kid.
Can you put like a pink one with nothing in it down lower? Just for like chinuch purposes? And
that's called bad chinuch. No, just like when you have an esrog, you get him a posel esrog. So you're not, when you get a chinuch set for your kids, it has to be kosher. And if it's not kosher, then it's not. That's bad chinuch. We don't want bad chinuch. Okay. So, now what if you have a very tall door? What do you do then? So what would you say? A very tall door. Where should you put the mezuzah? So if you have a very tall door, you put it in the top third, just look up, you'll see it. I mean, it's not how big, I mean, it's not going to be, I can't imagine you're going to have a doorway that's going to be so big that, right? So what do you say? No, what would you say? Yeah,
if the chiyuv is just that the mezuzah is there, right? And when we think about it, right? So, you know, when somebody walks in, I'm not sure there's necessarily a chiyuv to, you know, touch the mezuzah to kiss it. I'm saying,
it's not a chiyuv to touch the mezuzah, to kiss the mezuzah. Those are nice things, but that's not the mitzvah.
If that's the case, why would it be any different?
Right, still should be in the top third.
Yeah.
Have you all done? Top third. Pure, you're a purist. No? Does everyone agree with him? You agree with him or no? You're shaking your head. You like what
I've said. After Rebbe's response, I'm definitely agreeing.
Yeah. So Azoy. So there's a Yerushalmi. Recently, I wrote an article in a certain Torah journal called Hamashbir. Why is it called a mashbir? Because it's in memory of Rav Avadi Yosef, Yosef who Amashbir. So I wrote an article about the halachas that are in the Yerushalmi, not in the Bavli. And how do we paskin on things that appear only in Yerushalmi and not in the Bavli. What's that like a famous example? What's the most famous example?
Matzah and
Erev Pesach. Tolls. Matzah and Erev Pesach, right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Bavli that you can't have matzah and Erev Pesach. It's only in Yerushalmi. Which is fantastic. It was very fascinating. Because that's like a basic halacha that we, you know, that we all know. And it's not even in Talmud Bavli, only in Yerushalmi. And we pass it like that. Right? So the Yerushalmi says that if you have, and this Yerushalmi is quoted in the Shach. It's Yerushalmi, I believe, in Megillah. These pages here, Shtipol Kot. I wouldn't know what page to tell you because everything's cut. Yeah. It's here. Or page, whatever. Where it says Halakhi and Beis. So, the Bavli is...
It's 35
on the sources. 35 on the sources. Rav Yitzchak HaGav Atzmachai Yashar Gavoa Amalei Nosno Keneget Seifov. So you put it shoulder height. If it's a very tall door, you put it shoulder height. As Zoy state in Yerushalmi. You ever see, we have like a door downstairs here. You know where that door is? You know, on the ground floor, there are a couple of those big doorways there. Right, so, very big. So if you put it, Shar Gavoa, you put a Keneget Seifov. Who and is that the halacha? So the Shach quotes this, but Mechaber does not quote this halacha. So who wins in this question? Minhag Yisrael is like the Shach, based on this Yerushalmi. There's one famous posek who was a purist. One famous posek, a purist, that said no. It's not in the Bavli. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It's only in the Shach. We should keep the top third, even in big things. And that's where Rav Avadi Yosef in his Shuvos, Omer, he passed like that. It's not the accepted psak. Except the psak is neged kaseifayim, but he thought that no. Why should we? Just like we said before, because if you go like the Yerushalmi and really that's not the halacha, then you're not yotze even, right? So you have to be very confident that that's the right, because in other words, if you go like the chora, like the top third, so yotze, but if you do the shoulder height that's below the top third, and usually below the top third you're not yotze, but it shows you the koyach ha-Yerushalmi, just like by matzah and Erev Pesach, we pass it like that. If Rav Avadi Yosef doesn't give in. Does not give in. Purist. Top third. Rabbi Yaakov?
What's the getter for very top?
Excellent question. We'll get to it.
Who
didn't speak yet? Anyone didn't speak yet?
Okay.
What's the reason for your Yerushalmi? Okay, all the questions.
I'm going to have that question, but also about average shoulder height or zero height?
I mean, whose shoulder height is it? Average, or some say the Balabais. Unless the Malbais is a midget or a giant, you know.
Two mezuzahs.
Two
mezuzahs.
Oh.
Oh,
we should do the two thing, right? The two. You know what I told you about the two thing.
It would be God's wisdom.
You may as well throw a third one for the kid at the bottom.
What?
At that point, you're just throwing the third one for the kid at the bottom.
Right. Yeah, but you're treading on a slippery slope, and we don't do that. So we have to have a hachra in halacha. So the hachra is that we follow the shach, and we follow Yerushalmi, like we do by matzah and Pesach. Oh, so what's the vor? Oh, so Rav Yitzchak Abadi Shlita once told me a chiddush, and I think it's Emes Lamito. I printed it in his name in the Beis Yitzchak article. You see, I used to think that, so there are two tracks. There's the normal door track where you put a top third, and the big door track. Two tracks. Rav Abadi explained to me once that no, it's one track. The din of the bottom of the top third is that's the stomach where your shoulder height is, and the idea is that we want, as you're walking in the room, that it should be nicker to you the mezuzah. That's what it's all about. In other words, yeah, you know, Hanami, if you go like this and you look, you know, you'll see it if it's not so, you know, even if it's pretty high. But that's not going to be your normal hiluch. And the mela what? That's the vort. So there's no two tracks. It's really the vort is shoulder height. And you should know. Then I saw in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu. You ever seen that Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu? Orchas Rabbeinu is a Sefer. Who is he? Rabbi Horowitz. Horowitz's name. He was his brother-in-law of Shlomo Zalman. He was a close Talmud of the Stipler, and he wrote like many volumes of different halachos that he saw the Stipler do. Many halachos that the Stipler did. He was there. How much matzah did the Stipler eat this night of Seder, in Tufshin this and Tufshin that? He's a big Talmud Chacham, but he discussed with the Stipler. And then he has things from the Chazon Ish as well. And he said that the Chazon Ish wasn't so medactic about the top third. He just shoulder height. That was his thing. Just shoulder height. And that's the Zvort of Rav Abadi. I mean, on a regular door. Because that's Rav Abadi's Zvort. It's a din in the Shlish Elyon is a din of shoulder height. So, now, I'm a little, you know, and then, so now you understand all the things. What's too high? Too high would mean that it would be, you wouldn't see it in your natural kenisa. You wouldn't see it. In your natural kenisa, you wouldn't see it. So that's called too high. And it's all one along. So lemaisa, I would be machmir to if the shoulder height is lower than the top third, I still would be a little hesitant, you know, because maybe you could argue with the chiddush. You know, it's a good chiddush. I think it's very solid, but it's not. I can't, you know, take a shvuah d'oraisa on this chiddush. So I would still measure. But Lamaisa, I think, and the Chazon Ish Taka, they said he wasn't so machmir on the Shlisha. He did it shoulder height. So he was really willing to take this. I assume that the Chazon Ish Cheshbon was with Rav Abadi was a Talmud, and he knew the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, Rav Abadi grew up in Tveria. Chazon Ish told him to come to Lakewood. That's what he did. Followed the Chazon Ish. So in Eretz Yisrael, there weren't so many, yeshivas like today, and it wasn't. So the Chazon Ish told him to go to go to Lakewood. So that's what he did. Well, so the, now we answered all the questions that everyone asked.
How tall the door should be?
How tall?
Like how tall the door needs to be in order for this to fit that body.
Right. So Chora, based on this, the Chora would say if the door is too large, that the Shlish Elyon will be. Well, you wouldn't see it in your natural walk into the thing. You'd have to, which is natural, you're not going to do. You know, you're going to walk normal. You're not going to. So then that would be already called too high to. And it would require a. Okay. Oh. Now, the room has to be dalet al dalet, the chayv and mezuzah. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, what, 7 feet and 3 inches by 7 feet and 3 inches? Rav Chaim Noah, like 6 feet and 3 inches by 6 feet and 3 inches? Yeah, we know the shiur, but Chazanish has the biggest shiur, Rav Moshe in the middle, Rav Chaim Noah has the... But it's interesting that, you know, Rav Michal Sharkin, the Rebbe in Taurus Moshe, so he writes one of his... he wrote some, this forum of shiurim from the Rav Soloveitchik, he wrote up. And then he wrote just different stories from different gedolim that he had shaychus with Megid Givus Olam. And he writes interesting things there that are not written anywhere else. Like, for example, he asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe wrote the famous tshuva. Rav Moshe has the famous psak where he matted electric shavers. Question is whether he, you know, whole discussion. Which one is yes, which one is no. But he gave a heter. So Rav Michal Sharkin asked Rav Moshe, so how come it's not in the Igros Moshe? Such a basic tshuva for American Jewry. You know, it should be in the Igros Moshe. So he said, yeah. But he said he holds the meager din it's mutter, but he still thinks a Jew should have a beard. So therefore, he's not going to print it in the... If he printed it in the Igros Moshe, then he's saying this is on the book, so to speak. It's true, he held that it's mutter, but he still felt he should have a beard. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was very stark with that. He wouldn't let you bench demon if you didn't have a beard. Yeah. And if you wore a wishrach, he wouldn't give you a bracha. You know that. Here's a story. I have a Talmud who was there. You know, Rabina, when he was... It's good to tell some stories here. It's a long shiur, so we have to tell some stories. Rabina from the Tivarye. So when he was a kid, he wasn't so well. So his parents took him to the Chazanish for a bracha. So, so when he got a little older now in these years, he was just worried that maybe Chas V'Sholom, the bracha, could be running out. So he wanted someone to renew the Chazanish's bracha. So he went to, so who's the best one to renew the Chazanish's bracha? And Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he should renew the Chazanish's bracha. So he got there, and Rav Chaim says to him, Lo Silbash. He didn't know what he's talking about. So then the Gabbai explained to him that he's wearing a wristwatch and he held his little silbash. So therefore, he wasn't going to give a bracha. So he took it off and he gave him a bracha. Shalom Yisrael. Machshima Olam, what's the famous kasha people ask on that story? There's a famous picture of Rabbi Yashiv with his thing on the table and a wristwatch. But it's not a stira because, you know, Reb Chaim was on a different plane, you know. Reb Yashiv was, you know, but he, the Pesach Hador, Reb Yashiv. Reb Chaim was also on, you know, Hecha Madregas here. So, and some things they say that when Reb Yashiv was alive, he wasn't going to say until he passed away, and then he said certain things that he felt. So there's one of them. Okay, Reb Chaim is Reb Chaim, you could say. Reb Chaim is also Machben and Shemus, right? So, certain names. If you went to Reb Chaim and tell him your name and he didn't prove that name, he would tell you to change the name. What can I tell you? Reb Chaim. Okay. So what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Oh, so Rav Sharkin said that when, in that sefer, Megad Gimel Solom, that when Rav Chaim Noah came out with his shiurim, he was known as the Machmir. You know, today everyone, oh, Rav Chaim Noah, he's the Mekel, but everything's relevant. What was the norm when Rav Chaim Noah came out with his shiurim? What was the norm before that? So apparently the norm was more Mekel. So he was known as Lachumra. Today, you know, when you're looking from the scope of what the Chazanish held, so he's thinking. Okay, but so 6 feet and 3 inches, you can rely, right, on what? To put a mezuzah up. Maybe even a bracha. I think Rabbi Yashiv held that the Chaim Noah Shiurim are the Iker Halacha. Rabbi Yashiv from Eretz Yisrael. In America, the Rabbi Moshe's Shiurim became the more accepted thing. Rabbi Yashiv is the one Rabbi Chaim Noah Shiurim where the so. And the question is whether so that's dalet al dalet. What about if it's 8x2? So a lot of poskim say 8x2 is also chayav, but the Taz says no. And the Chazanish agrees with the Taz; it has to be 4x4. So if it's narrow and wide, then it won't be chayav and mezuzah. So a lot of times you have rooms that are not so big. You say the big discussion the poskim have walk-in closet. So walk-in, see, if it's not walk-in, then you're not chayiv. Because it's no, you have what? Derech biyoscha. There's no knisa. Right? So, if it's, so you just put your arms in to get your shirts. You don't actually walk in, then there's no knisa. But if it's walk-in, then chayiv. So if it's dalet al dalet, so then you have to put a mezuzah with a bracha. If it's not dalet al dalet, so then the question is what to do. But it's walking, but it's not dalet al dalet. So it's like this. So the Chamud de Daniel. Chamud de Daniel is one of the Achronim, and the Piskei Tshuva quotes it, the Chamud de Daniel. It says, Chamud de Daniel Chaf Yud. What does Chaf Yud mean? Savya. Because it wasn't printed in the time of the Piskei Tshuva, so there was some manuscript that they had. So he says that if you have a closet that's not dalet al dalet, but it's walk-in, you still put a mezuzah. Why? So the Rashash and Sukkah, if you put out the Rashash and Sukkah, says, because dalet al dalet is not a shir b'fnei atzmo. It's the sheer of usability. So if it would be usable, even with what? Even not being dalet al dalet, so that's a sheer chiv.
Is it with the bracha?
Oh, so would the Chamud de Daniel say with the bracha? Maybe. Maybe he would say, it could be. I mean, it's a big chiddush, but it could be he would say with the bracha. Maybe. That's a good question. Because it's usable. Like you can put your shirts there, your shoes, so it's good. And your shirts won't complain, your shoes won't complain. It's good. It's useful. Exactly. That's one mahalach. So therefore to put it in the right side going into the closet. Then there's this Rabbi Kiv Eger, which became a very popular thing. But I'm not from the Rabbi Kiv Eger people. And that is that if you have a walk-in closet, not dalet al dalet, so put it in the right side, not going into the closet because it's not dalet al dalet, but what? The right side going from the closet back into the bedroom. Because the bedroom is dalet al dalet. So Rabbi Kiv Eger doesn't subscribe to this kiddush. That as long as it's useful, it doesn't have to be dalet al dalet. So he says, put it on the right side, going from the closet back into the room, and the room is dalet al dalet. So why don't I like that chiddush? Why am I?
It's not
Kinesa.
What?
It's not dark. Kinesa.
Well, it's Kinesa into the bedroom.
That's the Yitzhia from the Pasuk.
Oh, right. So it's backtracking. Right. So that was the so we said before. That that you don't go, a backtracking doesn't count. So in other words, when you go into the closet, that's a Kinesa. When you're going out, you're not saying it's considered Kinesa into the room. It's called Yitzhia from the... Because whatever the first... Mahalik is the Knesset, and when you go, when you backtrack, that's a Yitzhia. That's not it. So one sec. So you hear? So that's the. So a lot of people do follow this Rebbe Akiva Eiger, but I tell people not to. I tell people if they're going to do it, they should do what? They should go. But I'm not as bold as to say to make a bracha. That I would not say. What I tell people is, Meigur Din is Pater Lagamri, because it's not Dalal Adar. Right? Pater Lagamri, it's not Dalal Adar. And then the Rebbe Akiva Eiger, I'm not into the Rebbe Akiva Eiger. I mean, it's not me. It's what the Chesed Lavram says like that. That you should. So if they want to be machmir, I tell them to do the Chamud Daniel's chumrah, and not the maybe Chamud Daniel didn't consider a chumrah, but to do Chamud Daniel, not Rebbe Akiva Eiger, and not the bracha. Yeah, okay, I didn't talk about it yet. Maybe I should, right.
There's no door to the walk-in.
Okay, closet. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay, thank you. Make sure I don't forget. Oh. Now, Chamud and Neil was only talking about walk-in closets, but what about, like, foyers? Like, sometimes you have a nice big house, and you walk into a little vestibule. Right? A little foyer. That's not even dollar on dollar. And then from there, you walk into a bigger room. So the question is, so should you put a mezuzah on the front door? This is not dollar on dollar. Like someone said, it would be a shod for the Mishulachim. Because Mishulachim was trying to see who's Jewish, who has mezuzahs. You wouldn't put a mezuzah on the front door. So, Chamud Daniel says, it's kazi l'milsei, like the Rashash. It's functional. So you put on the even though it's not that. But what if you're not a Chamud Daniel person? So what's his name? There's a sefer, Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael, Rav Aaron Feldman's son. Wrote a sefer on Hilchas Mezuzah. What is it called? Ogra Bolecha. It's called. Very good sefer. So he says that the Minhag Olam is to be more machmir on this chelik of the Chamud Daniel. That if it's a passageway, because Chamud Daniel said two things. He spoke about passageways, and he also spoke about closets. So he says passageways, certainly you should follow Chamud Daniel. Maybe not make a bracha, but passageways also Chazil Nusa. So the Minhag Olam, like he wrote in that sefer Ogra Bolecha, Rabbi Feldman, the son of Rabbi Aaron Feldman of Neri Yisrael, he says we should be machmir. The Minhag Olam is to be machmir for at least the second Chamud Daniel, you know, the one about the passageways. But I tell you, but it could be the Chamud Daniel is a chiddush. So Rav Abadi was a purist. When I first met Rav Abadi, he was living in Har Nof at the time. And then he would come into Lakewood to his house in Lakewood, and it was a big house, and the front door was opened into a little vestibule, so he didn't have a mezuzah on the front door because he's a purist. It's not dal al dal. The Gemara says in Sukkah Dav Gimel that has to be dal adal. This chiddush of the chamud de Daniel is a big chiddush. Mehechi teisi. We should have a new chiv. It's not dal adal. So that's what Rabbi Bari thought. Dal adal, finished. It's not dal adal, not. So that's what he didn't have a mezuzah on his front door. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He came back several years ago. He lives in a different place. The place he lives in now, in Carousaldro Drive, Lakewood, opens into a big room. So he has a mezuzah on the front door because it's a big room. So no shaila. But in the original house, that other house, it was it was a little like a lot of people in my parents' home in Brooklyn. It opens up into a little foyer. We still have a mezuzah on the front door, but because we work with that shishita. But Rabbi, Rabbi's not into putting up a mezuzah if there's no chiv. That's why there's yeshiva in Lakewood. The yeshiva in Lakewood, YTT. There's a YTT in Staten Island. But there's a yeshiva in Lakewood. It's a Talmud of Rabbi, so there's no mezuzahs in the whole yeshiva. Because Rabbi held, why do you need a mezuzah in the yeshiva? Mezuzah is only if you live there. Rabbi said to me, only in the dormitory. Only in the dormitory. That's where you live. You don't live in the room. So he says, you're all a waste of money. So the Minhag HaOlam is not like that. The Minhag HaOlam is to put up a mezuzah, like if you have a chasana hall, and you don't put up a mezuzah, I don't know if anyone's going to, go there. Because people have, but I wouldn't make a bracha. Well, they built this building. And then Professor Richard, President Richard Joel, he made a ceremony here outside, dedication of Gluck. And he covered the mezuzah, and he made a tova hametiv. He didn't make a kvod mezuzah, because you can't make a bracha here. No one lives here. Yeah.
So actually, two quick questions. One is, if you have that little foyer and you are going to walk near the mug, so then it should for sure be on the right side as you walk in and also as you exit from the meeting. When on the way into the foyer, it should be on the right side, and also when you leave the foyer, the rest of the house should be on the left.
You're not going to put it outside, going out, because right. That's.
So you have to go into the house before you. And the second question is there any sort of remnant of that svara about living in the house itself? So, I don't live in my walk-in closet. So, that's not a place where, I moved out a long time ago.
No, but the word is, you live in the house. So, the walk-in closet is part of your dira.
Are there any exceptions to that? Like, any rooms that have a bathroom?
The bathroom we don't put, it's not a Malkum Shul coffin, so we don't put it.
Everyone
in the room we put it in. Because you wanted me to say over the Rambam, Shita is a sheet of the Rambam that if there's no. It's not only a doorway and a room, you have to have a door. And if there's no door, there's no mezuzah.
Wow.
Well, why? So the Chachmei Lunil asked the Rambam, why? So besides the Gemara, the Rambam says it's a pasuk of mezuzah be'sechu v'sharecha. Every door needs a shar, and the door is the gate. This is the gate. This is the gate. So without a shar, without a door, is the room without a shar. No shar. That's the Rambam responded to the Chachmei Lunil. So we don't follow this Rambam, but in deference to the Rambam, we don't make a bracha. There's no door. There's no there's no door, the Rambam holds there's no mezuzah at all. So the Rambam's house, there was no mezuzah. I would love to see the Rambam's house. Do they still have the Rambam's house around someplace? I have a friend who goes to, you know, Barcelona. He was in the Rashba's house, the Balamor's house. So I don't know if we have the Rambam's house is still standing someplace. I don't know. I should ask my friend, because he's been in the house of Rishonim. I haven't been so much in the house of Rishonim. One second. So we hold you need a door in. But I'll tell you another chiddush. Are you ready for this one? This Rav Soloveitchik had his chiddush. I mean, him wasn't a chiddush, but for most people, it's a chiddush. You see this door? So it has a door, but what else does it have?
Lintel.
What else does it have? What do you call this?
I don't know.
Frame. Frame or whatever else you call it.
Metal thing?
What do they call it?
A door post.
Molding?
Yeah.
Molding? Yeah. So, but a lot of your houses just have an opening. Like going into a living room, it just has a. There's no frame. There's no. So Rav Soloveitchik said, even if you want to not follow the Rambam, and if there's no door, we still put it up, but there at least has to be a Tzuras HaPesach. And if there's no Tzuras HaPesach, there's no mezuzah. Minhag HaOlam is not like that. But Rabbi Gnack, I believe, told me that Rav Soloveitchik himself followed. And there was no frame, there was no mezuzah at all. All this whole, no. Like Rav Chaim, based on a Ritva and Ervin, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, it's nikkud, it's pasach even without a frame. But Rav Soloveitchik says, no, you need a, like by an Erev, you need a kon al gabayim, you need a real frame. So even, so we put up mezuzahs, minhag olam is put up mezuzahs, even though there's no door, with no bracha because deference to the Rambam, petition, and we don't require even to have a frame. But you need, yeah, you have, but at least you have a tzura. Yeah, we're opening. Yeah, listen.
The Rav says that you don't put a mezuzah on at all, or is you have to just don't be a mezuzah.
He didn't put up a mezuzah b'chol. I quote this in my Sefer on Erevin, Imre Baruch Erevin, Ayin Shom. I think that's the only place it's printed, this psak of the Rav.
Do you have retractable doors that go into like, the walls or go into the frame?
Oh! Retractable doors, like accordions, like what do you call that? You know, people have a deck. You know,
sliding doors.
So let's say, okay. So before we get to that, we have to speak about Minhag Chabad in mezuzahs. What is Minhag Chabad? That the most important thing is which way the door opens. If this would be a Lubavitch institution, that mezuzah would be going into the hallway. Why? Because the door opens this way. And that's called, what does the Gemara call that? Heker Tzir. So they follow Heker. The Gemara says, you don't know which way to put the mezuzah, Heker Tzir. So that's the Minhag Chabad, Heker Tzir. So they would, on a room like this, they would put on the right, because what's, we said before, which way you go, the Knesset, he says, no, how is the Knesset being defined? So some poskim say it's flow of traffic. Like here, it's coming in. Some say which way room do you use more. So from those criteria, this would be going in. And then, but the only thing that's mentioned in the Gemara to tell which way to do it is the Heketzir, which we assume today means which way does the door open. So therefore what? They put it, the way the door opens is into the hallway, so they put it on the right side going into the hallway. That's a minute
chabad. Let me just say that the Gemara says if you don't know which way it's going, how does that not?
No, the Gemara says you have an opening both ways. So which way do you go?
The Rebbe mentioned Derek Piazza and that track. So if I walk in here first, you know the door opens this way, I'm walking in here first. Isn't that Derek Piazza?
Yeah, but he's saying that since the Gemara says Heketzir, that's the Kovei.
So we're saying that how you. The Chabad learns that Gemara, that
Heketzir. You know what the Rebbe once said. I don't know how serious he meant it. Now, theoretically, you could climb in through the window, but I don't know how serious he meant that. Theoretically. Okay. But that's the minute. But if you're in a Chabad institution or a Chabad shul, you will notice that that's the way it's made it done. Heckens here. So we, as Rav Shechter pointed out, we use Heckens here as a tiebreaker. As a tiebreaker. In other words, if we don't know, if they say there would be multiple ways of getting in, and the flow of traffic and the usage are equal for both sides, and you want to know the tiebreaker, so Heketzir would be the tiebreaker. But Chabad uses Heketzir as the first category, and we use it as the tiebreaker. Oh. So what's going to be, now we're going to go into your question, the sliding door. So what if you have a sliding door? So then there's no tiebreaker. You have a question. So what do you do?
Isn't the sliding door generally to outside? So that there would also be posture that's going inside.
Oh, right.
Is the Kenisa there in Nicker?
Where?
For the sliding door. Is that considered to be bidirectional?
Say you had a sliding door in the middle of your house someplace. Yes. You have one in your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's that? Where do you live?
In Woodmere.
In Woodmere, yeah. You have sliding doors. Yeah, they have those sliding doors, yeah. They have that, you know, you roll it.
Yeah, it goes into the wall.
Goes into the wall. So again, we have the other rules of Ger Kenisa there. But say you have multiple ways you can get in, and it's equal, etc. And you don't have the tiebreaker. So what do you think the halacha should be?
Maybe mentioned that that's one of the
clauses.
Some of the
clauses
say that.
Right. Okay, that's a possibility. And what if you spend, you know, each. What if. Then what? You had a question. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said an unbelievable thing. Only Rav Moshe could say such a thing. Moshe Feinstein was the Pesach Hador. There was no one like Rav Moshe. And at the Levaya, you know, Rav Nissen Alper was Rosh Yeshiva here, said Moshe was from the category of the Chasam Sofer and the Nodim Yehuda. You know, the godless of Rav Moshe is he said Chidushim and he was confident in his Chidushim that he was Paskin based on his Chidushim. It's one thing I can say a Chiddush, and you know, for a shear and this, but I'm not paskin. Rav Moshe paskin l'halacha on everything he said. Understand? Even though there are sometimes very tremendous chidushim, but he knew kol ha-Torah kula, so he had confidence in everything he said. It's amazing. So you know what he said in that case? when it's equal each way, and then there's no tiebreaker because it's a, say, a, you know what he said? You know what he said? Pater. Pater mi mezuzah. Why? What's the word? Because he says the din of derech biyoscha means it has to be niker. What's the derech biyoscha? If there's no, if it's not niker, what derech biyoscha is, then the Torah wasn't mechayev such a door. That's a chiddush. That's not one of Moshe's most important chiddushim, but it's still. Rav Shechter said he heard from Rav Belsky that Lamaisa, when they had the shaila, people would come to Rav Moshe and he would ask him, "Nu, so what do you do already?" And usually when they would already have put it, so I said, "Okay, so leave it there." Because, in other words, he helped make you did his part, so whatever you did, he said, just leave it there. Oh, so let's talk about backyards. So say you have a backyard, but you can come into the house through the front door and then go out to the backyard, or you can come from the street in, from into the backyard into the house. So where would be the mezuzah be? In such a case. Or another question is, and this they have like in the, my in-laws are from the Lower East Side, we're in the building right next to Rav Moshe. So the Lower East Side, they have those buildings and they have little, you know, porches, you know, on the building, you know, a big tall building, they have balconies. So which way do you put the mezuzah? Going from the house onto the balcony or from the balcony? So Rav Moshe's shita, see, Rav Moshe was like the shita that I like. Not, you don't do backtrack. So his shita was you put it on the, as Rav Shekhar pointed out, on the right side onto the balcony. But there is a school of thought, not like me. That's the Rabbi Kivager school of thought, and the Chazanishes held like that. So they held that the balcony is tufel to the house. So it should always go from the balcony onto the house.
I thought I heard something one time about that you need to have street access or something to the balcony in order for it to like be considered that you're going from the balcony to the house. If it's like only one, you only get in there from the house, then that's where you're going.
I don't know, but those sheets to do it that way into the house.
Shechter held going.
Who did I say? I quoted it from.
Rabbi Kivager and the Chazon Ish said that it should be on the right side going in.
Right. But I didn't say anything. Shechter here. Okay. So the same thing on a balcony. So some hold, it's the same question on if you have a deck. You know, if you have a deck, if it's not enclosed, then you can't put it going out because then it's like just going into the street. But if it's an enclosed deck, so in Moshe held, you go, if he looked going out. As others held, no. Any deck is like, is by definition tufel to the house, and you go from the deck inside. Certainly when you can walk in, but even in the cases of where you don't go from the street to the. And that's the.
It goes straight into the backyard, which is gated. That would be on the right corner of Moshe.
If you go from the house, what?
You're leaving, let's say, a back door of the house, and then you go, like, in the backyard is, let's say, fence.
Where are you going? Where are you starting?
You're starting inside the house.
Yeah.
And you're going out.
Yeah.
And so it's just a stone backyard with a fence or a gate.
Yeah.
That would be the right.
That's what he would say. And others, the Chazanish people would say, no, anything that's like a chatzer, by definition, I'm sure the point is out, would be tofel. So that's explaining the other sheet. Okay. Another thing people need to know is if you buy a house, you're not just renting, you're buying, you have to put a mezuzah right away. You can't say, when I get around to it, if you live in the house, living means moving in, not the belongings, the people. You're sleeping over, you're eating, this is now where your abode is. So if you're renting, so then you have, you know, chayiv, you have 30 days to, until you're chutzlarts, you're part of the first 30 days. You put up in day 31. Right? Day 31. But if you're buying the chutzlarts or that's or whatever, then you mechuyev right away. Mechuyev right away. So that's how sometimes people, you know, don't realize this, and then they move into the house, and they don't have the mezuzah, they don't have their act together, and they're living in the house without a mezuzah. So they're mevatel mitzvah esei mit haTorah. So that's not good. So a person moving in, they have to have the mezuzah there, ready to go. There's a question whether you can put it on earlier, because maybe that's... So I think Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes... Chaim Kanievsky, another thing that he was into is he wrote these sefarim on Masechta Ketanis. Like there's Masechta Mezuzah, Masechta Avodim, Masechta Kusim. And he wrote a perush to all these Masechta Ketanis. So he wrote a Masechta Mezuzah. So in Masechta Mezuzah, he has a place where he seems to say that even though you didn't move in yet, you can already put up the mezuzah. But certainly, if you moved in, you can't wait. That has to be there right then and there.
You can put up early even with bracha?
Perhaps.
Do you pass in that way?
It's a question. I guess the best is to wait till you move in. But then sometimes you forget, and then you don't have the mezuzahs. What about the Washington Heights kitchens? You know what the Washington Heights kitchens are?
Some of the things you know sex
on. You know what they look like? Going in. You have this thing. This is filled. It's like a shtickle counter. And you walk in this way. You've seen it? So where do you put it? There are four possibilities where you can put it. You can put it here, or the other way, coming out, here, or here. Four possibilities. So where do you put it? So some people told... So one possibility is to put it here. Because this is where you go in. Nisa. This way. So they follow the Nesivus. The Nesivus wrote a sitter called Derech Chaim. And in the sitter, there are Piskei Halachas in the sitter. So then one day somebody said, what in the world do we need the Nesivus of sitter for? We don't have enough Sidurim. So let's just print the Piskei Halacha. Forget the sitter. You get a different sitter. So that's what they do today. They have Sfarim, the Piskei of the Nesivus. So the Nesivus writes, if you have something that's 10 Tfachim high, you can already put it here. So that's many people who are like that. I am not from that school. Why not? Because it's too low. But then Sivas wrote it. So in the Mikdash Ma'at, he explains, no, the Sivas only meant if this part is very high. And if you put it here, it'll still be in the Shlish Elyon. That's what he meant. But if it's going to be small in the Shlish Elyon, so I'm into putting it over here. So some people are not into that because they say, but the Pesach is only over here. You can't walk through this. But I'm into the idea that, no, but this is the whole Pesach, even though you can only walk in here, but this is the Pesach. So I tell people to put it here. Some people follow here. And then the other possibility is to go here and here, depending upon if you hold from Rabbi Kiva or not. And then you put on the other side. Good. So that's the story here. Okay. Another thing that comes up a lot, people, especially in this neighborhood, people move in and move out, right? Transient. So the question is, you're not supposed to leave your mezuzahs for people coming in, because it's considered your mazik if you don't. But Rav Abadi points out, and it seems to say that in the Ramah, that it's not a freebie. You don't have to, because you could charge the person. The person wants to pay. If you have sentimental value to the mezuzah, you could take those and leave him another mezuzah. But you're supposed to offer to, as Rav Abadi pointed out, you're supposed to offer to pay for the mezuzah. And then if he wants to buy, but he can tell you, I don't want it. I have my own mezuzahs, go, but you're supposed to. So that's a halacha that comes up a lot. Okay, Rabosai, we can stop here. I daven already, I guess, the different minyanim, wherever you want to daven. Okay, it was a pleasure to spend some time together learning some of these halachas. And I wrote an English article in the back here many years ago in the back of this packet. I usually don't write in English, but I happen to write this in English. Rabbinic alumni of Russo magazine. Okay, so feel free to talk more about it anytime we see each other. Okay, thank you for also. Here.